I'm Melissa Davis, small studio producer. The following is the audio version of WFYI's latest small studio session with Megan Christine Martin. You can find the entire session, including a video of the performance, at wfyi.org/smallstudio. Stay tuned right after the session for an interview with Megan from WFYI's Jill Dittmeyer. Small Studio is made possible with support from Sun King Brewing.
My name is Megan Christine Martin, and we're going to play songs off the new EP. It's titled Breaking Points. It's the same as the song we just played. The next song we're going to play is titled Give Me Time.
Mm-hmm.
give me time to scream out loud. I need time to feel how I feel, 'cause it's not right to keep it all in. I need time alone. Well, I've been stepping on the very tip of my toes and biting my tongue for far too long. It's about time I say how I mean. Next one off the new EP is titled Monster. And my dad is going to play some dobro. This is John Martin. In the back we have Mr. Brent Schlemmer on the baritone acoustic guitar. And over here we have Ryan Shore on cajon. I'm going to change it up a little bit. Count it off whenever you're ready.
One, a two, a one.
And she fed me well. Says she never let go, but in a blink of an eye, she looked at me like I was a very monster. Forget what it looks like, you forget what they see. A monster I am, but not to me. A monster I'm capable of, but how can it be? I'm a monster. That darkness kept her in the shadows. And no matter how I fail, no matter how I try, the monster remains inside her. Number 4 off the EP. It's titled Never Noticed.
Yeah, you never know.
forgiveness isn't easy to come by. These words of mine never seem to satisfy everything that I feel, and you never notice. Yeah. Thank you. All right, so the last one we have for you is a song titled Without You. And it's the last one on the Breaking Points EP.
I didn't want to say goodbye. Didn't want to turn it. What am I to do without you no longer by my side? Oh, please just let me hide.
Thank you so much.
And now, WFYI's Jill Dittmeyer talks with Megan Christine Martin and Megan's dad, musician John Martin. He joined Megan for this small studio performance.
When you and your dad walk into a studio to play together, mm-hmm. are you still father-daughter or are you musician-musician?
It takes me a minute to take that kind of curtain away, I guess. For me, anyway. I know how he thinks, and I know we think in a similar way, so I know where he's going to be, and he knows where I'm going to be. So, I don't know. It's interesting, but I don't know. I think it was fine.
For you, John?
I'm used to being the backup musician, so taking that role isn't really a challenge. I just have to, every once in a while, go, that's my kid. kind of put the pride away a little bit and, you know, get to work. And
I guess, yeah, in the end, we're musicians and we're here to be performers and professional.
Yeah.
So do you collaborate together as musicians or do you really try to do your own thing, Megan?
I definitely do my own thing, and he lets me, and he stays back and he knowing that it gives me free rein to do what I need to do as a musician. Yeah.
That's probably hard.
No.
No?
No. I've gotten the opportunity, or I've always worked with songwriters. So, yeah, letting them have their creative process is fine. If they want my opinion, they'll ask for it.
It's true.
And do you ever ask for Dad's opinion?
Not with the writing, per se. I don't really take a whole lot of criticism with my writing because, I don't know. If it sounds good to me and I'm connecting, at least with an audience, like I'll take it, new songs especially, to open mics. And if they're like, wow, this is great, I'm like, okay, I'm on the right track. Move on. yeah.
My suggestions are usually instrumental.
Yeah.
So it works out fine that way then,
yeah.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How far back was it when you started playing music and appreciating music and... You're obviously around it for your
sure.
whole life.
Like my mother also is a musician, and I grew up with her, and you know, and I would grow up like summers, and winters we'd go up to see Dad, and my brother and I, and we'd see him perform with Syndicato, and that was, I guess, my early. Experience with music was just watching him perform with Frank Dean and Carl Esasso and
and the birthday boy today, Gary Wasson.
Oh yeah, it is his birthday, isn't it? Yeah. That was probably like just be from birth, you know, being around music.
So was it just like part of your life, or was it something as you listened to it you thought, ooh, I might kind of like to do this as well?
I never saw it as a career path. When I was, 18, 19, Dad gave me a ukulele, and I was kind of messing around with it. It was right after I graduated high school, and I was like, well, now what? And I was I was going to school, but I was bored because I was in marching band in high school. I played flute and piccolo, and I was like, well, I need to do something different. I don't want to just be done because, you know, you get that sense of community. And then after high school, it was over. And I was like, well, I need that again. I need the music. And yeah, and I invested more time into it. And then it ended up being this career path after performing at a Ukulele World Congress in Brown County, Indiana. and I didn't even want to perform. I was too scared. I was always really nervous. But a friend of mine, Paul, was like, no, you need to perform. You sound really good. And we had jammed a few hours before. And I was like, fine. And I got up on stage and, you know, there's like 500 to 600 people roaming around, two different fields. It's not quite a festival, but it's just a big like campground essentially. And then after I got off stage, my friend Ciso was like, "Oh my goodness, you're amazing! Like, what? Why aren't you doing this?" And then it just slowly more gigs and more gigs, and yeah, here we are.
Was it just getting out in front of people more often
yes.
that made you feel more at ease, or was something finally inside of you that you felt?
Well, I always wrote poems, and I had journals growing up. Yeah, getting out there, building my confidence. I took a speech class in college and practically threw up every time I had to get up in front of people. And that was something I wanted to get past anyway. So open mics were a beautiful thing for me. And and finally building that confidence, and then your friends, your community, the people you perform in front of, they tell you how good you are, and it hits you, and it tells you, okay, maybe I should continue doing this. If I don't, someone's going to get mad at me, I guess.
But you're very proactive on growth, of growing
yes.
your career and your talent. Why is that so important to you?
I don't want to stop learning. I didn't do well in school. I would say I was average, but I never liked the form of school, classes and all that. But I like DIY, do it yourself. Like, I wanted to learn on my own in my own way, and growing that way was much easier for me. And like, I have several different hobbies. I knit, I sew, and it's just always something new. And if it's attractive to me, I'm like, okay, I want to learn how to do that and just keep going. And like, once I learn it and I feel like I've accomplished it, I'm like, okay, now what? Like, every time, I don't know. I just have to keep going.
And watching Megan grow and improve and challenge herself, does that make you want to challenge yourself again too, John?
Oh,
or does
absolutely.
It make you, how does it affect you? And your music?
It makes me a little self-conscious. Well, or maybe self-aware is better. So I go back and I think, it's like, well, why did I play this, or why did I do that, or why am I not singing this phrase that way? It's like, oh, she's doing the same thing I did. Huh. It makes so much more sense. And it's like, oh, I can fix that now. It's like a slightly older age. I'm feeling, you know, there are things I did with Syndicato, and I've performed with other audiences where it's like, oh, well, Megan's doing this, why can't I do that? Or did I do that and I forgot about it? But yeah, it just makes me think about what I'm doing and the choices I'm making musically.
Do you think you would have done that if she hadn't suddenly decided to go down?
Not in the same way.
Mm-hmm. Why did you choose a ukulele to give to her?
At the time, it was, you know, at the forefront of what I was wanting to do. I play other instruments. Mostly I'm a guitar player who plays dobro and mandolin. That, and I had a ukulele when I was a little kid. I don't have any memory of it, but I've seen the pictures. I was two or three, and then got a guitar a year or so later. But it was just a fun instrument. I don't have the hands of an accomplished bass player. I have the hands of someone who can play mandolin. And most guitars, but ukulele's smaller. It fits. And she is a little smaller than me even. So, yeah, seemed like the right call.
Well, it also seems if you have the dexterity to knit and sew, that's mm-hmm. probably yeah. very handy,
yes.
pun intended.
Well, I love doing things with my hands. It comes easy to me, so.
The music that you shared mm-hmm. with Small mm-hmm. Studio today, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's Breaking Points is the name of the EP. You have 5 tracks. It was supposed to come out a lot earlier. I recorded it with Postal Studios here in Indianapolis, and it wouldn't have happened without Craig Helmrich, who started a nonprofit called Fourth Sunday Music Company. At the time, I already recorded my first album, and I was like, well, I just did this. And he was like, no, I want you to be in the studio. It gives you free rein to do whatever you want for 10 hours. And I was like, okay. And so I ended up being the first artist. And essentially what Fourth Sunday is talent that they choose once a month, the fourth Sunday of each month. They record probably more like 4 or 5 hours, and then they do Postal does the mixing and mixing at the second half of the day. And I was like, well, what can I do? Because my first album was just me on a uke. And I was like, well, I can expand this a little bit, do sort of like a full band session. And I had some experience in studios, not a whole lot, but some. And I told Dad, you know, let's put some dobro on it. I had Ryan Shore on a cajon, a little bit of a drum kit. My friend Cole was there for a song. And then Alex and Tyler did an amazing job. And we created, we did five songs. Craig didn't think I would get five songs done, but we just sort of tracked it live. We were all there. It was very organic. And so we had these five tracks, and I was like, well, I'll just use this for an EP at least, because I think today people don't want a full-length album. They want something simple, I guess.
Small bites.
Yeah. when I was like, well, at first I wanted to do a full-length album, but everybody's like, just get it out, just get it out, just get it out. And I was like, no, I want to wait. I don't have the finances ready for it either. But finally, I was like, okay, I'm ready. Let's just get it out there. And yeah, very excited. And I think what we created is quite wonderful.
And because that would, it would seem like it could be both a challenge and a great thing. Like you said, oh, you only have to come up with five, but you can only do five.
Right.
You have to really focus. Did you have to go through a lot of work that you'd already written and prepared to decide which ones were going to make it or not?
I didn't really think about that. I did use a couple songs from the first album, and because I felt like they needed more. There's stuff missing. I think every musician thinks about that, very critical of themselves. I went through a breakup and I wrote a song like the week before or the week of. And I was like, let's try that. And it ended up being the single, which is Breaking Points. And I think it's one of the best songs I've ever written looking back now. But yeah, it was very organic, and I felt like I wasn't there half the time. I was just like, let's do it. Let's go. But, yeah.
And to have that opportunity, that fourth Sunday, what a great opportunity for these young musicians.
Yeah. Finances, that's probably the single biggest issue with musicians of any type, young or old. If you're a musician and you're only a musician, well, let's face it, we're in Indianapolis. Unless you're playing cover tunes, you're not making a lot of money, generally speaking. Craig has got a wonderful thing going. Postal Studios is a wonderful facility. I would say that even if they didn't record with her, I've heard other work come out of there, and it's just an impressive spot. Good ears on both those guys, and talented musicians, too.
And they don't force you to do anything. It's very much your own creativity. They don't mess with it, and that's what's really nice. They just let you do your thing.
Megan did a good job surrounding herself with some good people. I'm not including myself in that. I'm just saying, Kels. You know.
Yeah,
Kels, but it sounds like. But you've learned that's a mm-hmm. part of the balance is to have some of the people that are seasoned and know what's going on, and some that are still kind of raw and fresh, and that all kind of comes together if you have the right setting.
Yes, and I think the timing was great. I was pretty emotional, and I had the people that I needed there with me at the time, and we made it work. So, yeah.
And then what was it like to come in here and perform in our literal small studio?
Yeah.
Familiar. Dad, you said you've been everywhere.
It's actually perfectly comfortable.
Yeah.
I've been in smaller rooms. I've recorded in really small spaces.
Well, you have Dad and other guys are like uncles to me, so it's like a family thing. Nice little intimate thing.
What's up next for you, Megan?
Ooh. Eileen Jewell. I'm opening for her at the Hi-Fi. I'm very excited. March 14th. I think it's a Thursday night. That's going to be really cool. I mean, yeah. After that, book more shows, hopefully. Book more shows outside of Indianapolis as well as here. Just get it out there, you know. See what happens.
And John, why is that important for musicians to expand out beyond Indianapolis with their talent?
It's how they can make money.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, that's the best way to do it. The general population doesn't seem to be buying albums. They're buying downloads. They're listening to stuff on the radio, then going on to YouTube, or they're going to
Spotify
where you are. Mm-hmm. iTunes, whatever it happens to be, wherever they can download the music for free, cheap, or whatever.
Or Pirate Bay.
Yeah. But going out and doing the shows, you have to have your merchandise together, and having a CD or something to hold on to from that artist. And it can be a sticker. It can be I saw matchbooks at an event, yeah. And it's like, oh, I don't really need those, but I really want them. It's a cool picture on the matchbook cover. T-shirts, you know, whatever is going to help them turn a profit and save money for, well, rent, bills, yeah. Yeah, life. But the next CD.
But it's changed, hasn't it?
Totally.
Completely. It was kind of the other way around when you kind of first started.
Sure. Yeah, we had to have a big box just for CDs and T-shirts. And that was how we financed the next album and, you know, paid for everything else. And for a couple of years, it was a living. And then it's like, oh, well, I have kids and I need more money. So then you have the job.
Yeah.
In addition to the other job.
I get the question all the time. So are you doing this full time?
Sure.
Like, mostly?
That never stops.
Even if you are doing other things, you are doing it full time.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's at the front. It's my focus. It's number one. And yeah.
If you could choose the next couple of people that you could perform with, who would that be?
Ooh. I hope to one day be working with Brandi Carlile. Saw her at the Grammys. That was amazing.
Yeah. Well, did you get to meet her, or just you were performing
sort
at the
same of
show?
It was at Floyd Fest like 3 or 4 years ago.
Virginia.
Yes, in Virginia. We did a little ukulele kids show, and she happened to be there with her wife and her daughter. And the daughter was maybe, it looked like a little toddler running around, and I didn't know whose kid it was, but there's a bunch of kids running around, and this kid's got a little phone. I'm like, who do you belong to? And like ran around like in front of me, and then I look over, and her mom is Brandi, and Brandi's wife. I think her name is Catherine. See, I know too much. But they're over there, and Brandi kind of smiles at me, and I was like, oh, okay. I was sort of in shock and just kept on walking. Like, it's okay. She may have seen me perform. I don't know.
I have a feeling that's going to happen. I really do.
Well, I have a list of people I want to see her work with.
Yeah. Hey, last question for you both. Who are you listening to now?
Ooh. Right now, I have the Carole King 2-CD set in my car. I have Lefty Frizzell's box set. And those are the mainstays right now. Oh, Joelle Sonnier covering Richard Thompson. Big fan of both.
And Megan?
Been listening to a lot of Gillian Welch lately. And then Liz Cooper. Saw Liz Cooper at the Hi-Fi.
Yeah.
And she did a phenomenal job with her band. Yeah.
That's my CD, isn't it?
It is yours.
It is my CD.
I'm borrowing it.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you.